The Heart of David is back. Not only do we have the old classic selection, but we got a new drop called Pray for Your Friends. The number one important thing God wants us to do is love thy God with all of your heart. But the second one is love thy neighbor. The best way that you could love them is to pray for them. This is my new favorite t-shirt. Church boy right here. And look at the back. Very clean, very nice. I'm not gonna lie, I never really wear like white or cream style hoodies, but this is just a vibe, dude. This is like, hey, how you doing? I like you. And I know you like me because I look good. If you liked any of these options, make sure you guys go to theheartofdavid.co or click the link in my description. I love you guys. Make sure you get it before it's too late and it's gone. And like the sun, it's going away. Hurry up. I love performing, but I loved my God so much more that if God said, shh, no more of that, I would sit there politely and patiently. That's why I always give the success and the credibility to him, is because I feel like it was given to me. I sat as a patient child of God, chasing righteousness, chasing wisdom. I failed miserably, but I truly think God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for the man who's looking for perfection, and perfection is Christ. I'm just playing, I don't fight,
I do pray, I only go the way. It's not often I sit down with somebody and they say something that makes me think.
Brother, this was great.
I love you guys.
But you give me something to think about. My own damn
way. I had a lot of fun on this interview.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the George Janko Show. I am screaming. My ears are bleeding. Let me put those down. Guys, this is, I actually am very excited about this episode.
Long time coming.
Long time coming. And I know I always say that, but this is huge, guys. This is a huge episode because this is the first time we are shooting in the 24th Street Cigar Lounge. Before this was a cigar lounge, before we created this to be the cigar lounge, we had this as like a liquor store. And right next to it was a hair salon, and right next to that, at first, was a Blockbuster, correct? It was a Blockbuster.
Nice.
So when I came in, I had all the chips and candy, and in the back we had a TV with like a little VHS or DVD. So I would literally go through the back because it's safer to go through the back. I would go if I needed a quick haircut, they'd give me a quick haircut, and then go next door.
You got your fade and movies and chips at the same time.
It gets even better, bro, because I would just have a lot of junk food here, and I was like, man, I really want food. So they got rid of the Blockbuster, and they made it a restaurant. So, like, this is literally my whole life growing up here. I was with my dad all the time, and we would dream. Like, he would dream about his future, and I would dream about mine. Above us is tenants that live. And right now they still live there, but at the time, my dad pitched me. He's like, listen, we'll get rid of them. He goes, we'll make it a recording studio. I'll be down here. I'll be selling liquor. You up there, and you just producing music. And we always wanted to be together, right? And I just found it so cool that he wanted me, my sister, and my mom always to be a part of his business, and I thought that was really cool. And so I moved to LA, and I'm doing my own thing, and my dad is like, hey, I think I'm making a cigar lounge. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And this is the first time we got to come here, and this is pretty much almost all done before it starts opening up. I don't know when the opening up date is. We'll give you guys that info soon when we have like an established date. But I just wanted to talk about manifestation, because lately I've been trying to figure out like the best way to express to somebody to keep working, but also give it to God, right? And the way I could go about it is you'll never be able to tell God, like I never knew that this was going to be a cigar lounge and I was going to be in the entertainment field and me and my dad would be able to merge together and build like this cool lounge thing. I never even had that idea 15, 20 years ago, not even like 15 years ago. I never had that idea because at the time I was like, oh, I'm a music producer. I'm going to produce music. I'm going to be writing. And how I want you guys to see it is it was just me and God, right? And I'll be like, okay, cool. I'm going to do this writing thing. And then the opportunity came for acting. And I didn't go, no. I'm going to stick here. This is the only thing for me. I was humble enough to know that, okay, if music doesn't work for me, maybe God doesn't want that for me. Maybe he wants me to go and dabble in this. So you have to let go of pride a little bit if you want to welcome God into it. Because there might be something beautiful on the other side of things that you don't even know and you won't experience it if you don't let go of like, no, it's my way. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to be the best at this. I'm going to do this. I was always looking for the doors that God was opening. So when I came, I found social media in LA. And when I got there, I was like, wow, this is really, really, really fun. And then it went to acting, and then it went to stand-up, and then it went to podcasting. And then now the full circle is I'm here with my dad in the same foundation that we had, And now we're building a business together that's even better than what we could have ever imagined it to be. But that would have never happened if we, every time something happened, got mad at God or got confused with God or tried to fight with God. He was cutting hair. He thought he was going to be the next, I don't even know who, like a
yeah, next, nice try.
Nice.
Nice try.
I went there so and I was close. Like, but don't even know. Zohan. He's going to be the next
yeah,
Zohan.
Yeah, okay, give me a name.
Just shaking his head like, you want cuts? And I wish I got there quicker.
But I'll make a cut.
I just wanted to bring that up really, really, really quick before we got started in this podcast, because when I'm looking around and I see Jessica with my dad and they're just sitting there like going over the charts and I'm looking at the new walls that they placed and the new windows and I'm seeing customers from back in the day since I was a kid versus like new customers that just moved in, and there's a lot of families that moved in. So it's cool because on social media, you know, you have a business online, right? And you don't really get to see your customers. You know, you don't get to interact with your customers. I was blessed to have a foundation like this because not only did we have customers, but we had friends, dude, like friends and family would come in. Yeah. Community, like people that not only invested in our business, that put bread on our table, but we were there for them. There was a lot of things that my dad did for the community. That's his business. I'm not going to get into that because that's between him and God and what he did with the community. But I'm a tad bit jealous that he got to look at them in their eyes, hug them, say hello to them every day coming in. Like that's a really cool thing. And I pray that we get to have this here at the 24th Street Cigar
Lounge. I think
Lounge.
You will.
I think yeah. we are.
I feel the energy here.
I really do. And you know, there's always people coming up to the door and be like, yo, is this it? And then my dad just lets them go with some cigars. I was like, hey, I don't need, how many cigars do you have that you, every person that walks in is like, he's just giving them as like a goodie bag.
A little taste of what's going to be, you know?
Yeah. So I just wanted to, I know that was like a kind of a long intro, but I just want to let you guys know that I'm super grateful for the position that I'm in. I'm super grateful for being your son. Thank you for teaching me everything you've taught me. Jessica, could you get me a water? just kidding, Jessica, I love
She's
you.
She's literally
so.
Working right now, too. Yeah, like, She's no, working no, for your no, dad.
Because I'm saying like, nice things to everyone. Like, Jessica,
I know.
Could you get me a water?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Jessica, honestly, and you know what? I'm going to take a moment to talk about Jessica because I always do mess around. She goes, no, stop.
She's already crying.
This woman is legit like a savant. Like a genius, because like, Reed, if I come up to you just randomly, hey, we're gonna open up a cigar lounge, learn how to do it. You would be like, what the hell are you talking about, bro? My dad goes from businesses to businesses to businesses to businesses. That's a great trait. Not a lot of people could be able to do that. He passed the torch to my sister, not willingly. By force. Hey, we need to figure this out. Go get license. My sister, she's like, what? I'm seeing my sister 3 o'clock in the morning reading how to make margaritas and all that. I was like, what
Sex
are you doing?
Sex on the beach.
She goes, I need to pass this test tomorrow. I don't even know.
While doing everything still for Georgie.
Yeah, bro.
She's like Georgie's right-hand man. And so she's doing both things at the same time. And that's
Jessica,
a lot.
Jessica's amazing, amazing, amazing. Like, in all seriousness, dude, you're... You know, it's so funny. She's the type of person that will do more for other people.
Yes.
Like
always
by a long shot. And it's a blessing to even know you. It's even more of a blessing to have you in my family, bro. For real. Like I really, really love you, dude. I really do love you. You're an incredible human being. Dad, celebrate. Bring us some nice cigars, please.
Nice.
Please.
I love you.
I love you, Jess.
That was so sweet and amazing, beautiful.
It's just so cool to do. Like, I didn't know you guys 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I did not know you guys.
I didn't know who I was 15 years ago.
But did you guys dream about meeting? No exaggeration. My dad had a... I'm like pouring out my heart. But we had a liquor store in the cooler. I would put on a really, really heavy vest, and I would listen to Kanye West instrumentals, and I would just freestyle the whole time.
You're so funny. In the cooler?
In the cooler. And it's so funny because...
you were icy with the...
I'm cold with it, bro.
Oh, my
bars. But I was in the cooler, and I would be so into it sometimes with my little headset. And by the way, back in the day, you didn't have an iPod. So sometimes, like, it would get cold, and they're holding it like a freaking... You know what I mean? Like, I'm just sitting there just freestyling. And people would open up the cooler to grab a drink, and then it would just be like
lyrical, spiritual miracle. I'm in the cooler.
You thought it was cold. What? You don't even know. They're just like they're like, you don't know. You're not getting a sentiment. Then I'm gonna get in. You don't even. I'm just gonna be in this. they're like, excuse me, sir, I think your refrigerator is broken. Like, I don't know what's going on over here. Yeah, so I would just sit there, and sometimes I would sit on the Bud Lights before they were canceled. I would sit there on them. Mm-hmm. And I would sit there when I wasn't freestyling, and I would imagine who I'm going to bring back here to my family. Because I always know I was always going to come back. We're always going to do this together as a family. Like, that's the only thing, right? Like, it's family first. That's how I was raised. You go out, you build, you bring it back, and you build with the family foundation. Mm-hmm. So when I would sit there, I would picture, like, who's going to be my fiance that comes into this building? Who's going to be my friend or my partner in the business where mm-hmm. I'm going to be? At the time, it was music, right? So I would picture you were probably making beats for me. Yeah, but now you're shooting content. So it's like, I always knew that God wanted something for me to do in this industry. I didn't argue the direction he wanted me to go. If you wanted me to be making beats upstairs for $100 per beats and I'm barely scrapping by, but I'm doing that with my God, for my God, or I'm on a podcast that we're talking to unbelievable human beings, I'm equally as grateful, and I pray that I have that that gratitude for the rest of my life, because it's this right here that just makes my heart just... Because, like, dude, you know what this is? It's bringing back, like, all of the... Because when I was here at the liquor store, I know I sound like I'm rambling, but when I was here at the liquor store, all I had was only obstacles. I was bad in school. I got moved around. I had no idea what was going on. I never, though, I swear to you, I never was scared. Because my mom would always just say, trust God.
Yeah.
Trust God. Do you believe in God? Yeah. Trust God. You're going to fail, but he'll never fail you. So don't put your trust in yourself. You'll fail yourself. Put your trust in God. So every time, as a crazy man, every time I failed, I would go, why didn't God want me to be here? Mm. Or for this? It's okay. I'll come back more prepared. And if it's not the case, he doesn't want to bless this, then we'll move on and we'll keep going. But I feel like this type of mindset, I wish that a lot of my neighbors had, because it made me less evil to my surroundings. I had no competitors. I had no jealousy with my friends. If I did not have something that my friend had, I would be super excited, and I would learn from my friend, and I would realize, okay, then why did my God prepare this man this way? What can I do to be in the same footsteps as him? But when you could trust your God and know his process, you're not gonna look at your friend and be like, well, why is he doing this and that, and I can't be doing this? Why is she excelling in school and I can't even read and write properly? Like, all of these thoughts, I trusted in my Lord. And so I know this was a long lapse, but I feel like manifestation is a beautiful thing, but I think the transportation is laying your foundation on God. I think that's kind of what I wanted to... And I know that sounded like... I didn't even plan to talk about this. I really didn't. But sitting here looking at you guys, seeing my dad, seeing my sister, seeing my cousin, it's such an incredible, like...
If you have the recipe on how you got here, why would you not share it with other people?
And I was going to say, like, that's such a powerful thing, because I'm sure there's so many people who, you know, when you have a specific dream, you have a specific passion, and then how are you able to be like, to let go of that? You know what I mean? That's a difficult thing to think. Like, you're like, no, I knew I was going to do music, but then to tell yourself, like, oh, maybe that's not the dream anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, how does somebody let go and let God be when you still want to hang on to the thing that you love so much, but then you have to trust that there's a different direction?
I think it's practicing to remember what you should love more. I love performing. I loved entertaining. I loved getting in front of a crowd or dancing or reading poetry or doing all this. But I loved my God so much more that if God said, shh, no more of that, I would sit there politely and patiently being like, what do you want me to do? I love you more. And I think that's the reason why everything happened in my life. And I think that's why I always give the success and the credibility to him, is because I feel like it was given to me. I sat as a patient child of God, and I sat there humbly, wanting to learn, chasing righteousness, chasing wisdom. I failed miserably, but I truly think God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for the man who's looking for perfection, mm-hmm. and perfection is Christ. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
100%.
Yeah. Where are those cigars, Dad?
Wait.
I'm just kidding. I'm seeing him right there going like this back and forth, like, should I come now? Yeah. Should I not come?
I got these nice cigars. This is collection for Zaya, his owner of Septino.
Zaya?
Yeah, his name.
And what's the brand called? This is the Zaya collection, and this is created by who? Zaya.
Zaya Collection. Is he's the owner?
Who's the owner? Zaya's?
Zaya, yeah.
That's his
Zaya
name.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a cool name. Wait, this is the gentleman that you FaceTimed me with?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. My dad bragged about this guy. He said he was like the sweetest human being, and his whole children are like super like down to earth. Very, very successful family, but down to earth, very nice. My dad was like very, very pleased with their presence of like just, I felt like they were very generous and like very kind hearted.
Like
Zaya, what a powerful name.
Very
bro.
Strong. Very strong.
Zaya will see you now. And you're like, oh my God.
If somebody was to conquer a country, I'm not saying we should. All right.
Go ahead. Okay. First cigar in the lounge, man.
Wow, big moment.
Big moment.
Don't
start
fuck
coughing
this up.
Immediately.
Don't fuck
this up. All right, all right.
Do you like cigars?
Go ahead, smoke.
He said, go ahead, smoke.
Proceed.
Oh, God, damn it. Oh,
damn it.
Come on, man.
Your cousin's dying at you.
Small cigars.
Damn, oh, a little one for me.
Oh, I got you a little
nice. One. Let's go, Dad.
Go ahead. Try it, smoke.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Don't inhale.
Don't inhale it.
Woo.
What are we dealing with here?
This is another collection from Septino Cigar.
Septino. So, okay. Same people, right?
Same people. They are really good cigars.
By the way, if you guys are wondering, George, when did you get into cigars? Never. I never got into cigars.
Yeah, that's very important to explain.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you guys are like, what the hell, you poser? I'll just wait until my dad's ass is in it.
My very first cigar was with your dad. Remember we went... On,
yes, the other cigar lounge, which you won't mention.
We went to another little place, yeah, and it was nice.
My dad loves cigars, and this is why I wanted to go in it with him. He said, I'm going to open up cigars. By the way, never asked me, hey, do you want to? He's like, I'm going to. And I was like, okay, can I come? Can
He's
I
very much like you then.
Yeah. And
this
but
is
there's
like,
rules. You can't hit it like this. You know, you got to wait. We just learned this right before. They're like, don't embarrass me. Okay, don't. Anyways, but guys, how was your Easter? How was your time away? We've last time we had a solo. I think was the last solo we had my Parasites episode.
The last solo that we had was about Dr. Jordan Peterson.
One thing while we're on the subject of you and your father, last episode you were gracious enough to shout out my dad's painting business, and since then he's gotten a ton of commissions. So thank you so much, bro.
And
that's
up.
Not even for me. That's not for
shut
me.
Up.
That's from my dad and my mom.
Okay, then don't say shut up. Okay.
My parents.
I
they're so grateful. Unbelievably grateful. They live a very simple life.
Could you explain to them what's going on with before in our last podcast, we talked about Reed's father painting. And you got a good amount of people to come and order some paintings. But what I found to be really cool is just like, bro, like, you're such a crazy artist. Like, you are so beyond, like, what people could even expect. We have, I'm not going to mention which artist, but there's a cool artist that you might even be working with. Mm-hmm. And I find that to be remarkable, and it's very exciting to be in your position, and I'm very excited for you.
Yeah.
But it's more beautiful to see that when you came to LA and you're doing what you're doing, the first thing you wanted to do is put your dad on.
Yeah.
And that's sick.
Of course.
Bro. That's
of course.
Really cool, bro.
Yeah,
I want to know a little bit more, like on camera, like how you were raised, because like,
yeah,
how do you
very
get to be
simply? I'd say being an only child is like kind of a I didn't choose, but it was like a big part of my personality. I think I'm very to myself. I've always I was the kid that all my friends would show up to my house and knock on the door and go, "Where's Reed? Where's Reed? Come out and play, Reed."
Oh,
and I was
really?
Like, "Oh, okay, yeah."
So you had friends.
I did have friends.
Nice.
Did you wish you had siblings, or did you like being the only child?
I feel like I do wish I had siblings, but looking back, I wouldn't choose anything else.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had hydrocephalus. We got into this in the last episode. My dad had hydrocephalus, so it was like water in the brain, abscess water, excess. And he got brain surgery when he was in college. He came out of that and developed epilepsy. So he had a job when I was very young, but he had to let it go due to like his disability. So he mostly just helped my mom run businesses. and she ran Curves, which is like a workout place for women, for most of my life.
She did?
And yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's like 7 days a week.
What's Curves?
Curves is a workout place for women.
Oh, very nice.
30-minute workout.
Let's
in
go.
And out. Yeah,
let's go.
You do the cycle. You do the cycle and you're out.
Okay.
But it was like in a very small community. So like my parents, like even all of the people that came there knew that my dad didn't work. So they would, if my parents really needed money, they would tell everybody that came in, hey, like if you guys have any yard work that needs to be done, if you have any odd jobs, Doug, like he can't work a typical job, but he's like, he loves to work with his hands. He does all these things. So like through the community, my parents were able to survive and raise me. And the thing about my dad is he was always painting and always working on something. I'd come out and you'd be listening to NPR and he'd be painting every single day, every single day.
Is that what made you want to be an artist?
Looking back, probably, but it didn't occur to me like that. I really, I think, found like my artistic drive when my parents got me a camera when I was 16 years old. That changed everything. They got me that, and
did you ask for it, or did they just give it to you?
I knew my parents didn't have much money growing up, so I never asked for things. Like, and they were always very creative, too. And when they got me stuff, it was like a big deal. That camera, mm-hmm. I think it was $300. We drove over town, and it was like, are you guys sure you can, like, do this? And they were like, yes. We know that you're going to appreciate this. I used that camera for probably, like, 8 years.
Wow. And look, like, where it brought you.
And here it is. So, wow. Yeah, if you're a parent, get your kid a camera. It's like, it's seriously the best gift.
Just a kid that's on drugs. They're trying to get him clean. They're like, come on, here, take a few pics. Go outside. Well, that's amazing, bro. Yeah. I'm very, very proud of you.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you again for shouting on my dad's website.
The link is in the description again.
Thank you.
And then we'll put it right here in the right here.
He has, so if you want, like a commission of, he's the things he's gotten are couples and dogs. Those are what people want painted.
The two most important things.
The two most important things. Absolutely. Love and dogs.
And if you want right now, you could actually have a picture of you and your loved ones with a dog. And if you don't have
he
a dog,
do that.
We'll
he
put Tommy in there.
He doesn't do that.
He doesn't do that.
No crossovers. No, but also he has like 20 paintings that are already finished that are just beautiful of different landscapes. And they're very... Southwestern inspired. They live in Albuquerque, so like beautiful landscapes and stuff like that. All sorts of things.
That's so amazing.
Yeah. Even if you don't want a commission, there's things to choose from, and they all ship framed, so they're ready to just go on your wall.
I'm going to get a commission from him, and I want him to paint me, my mom, my dad, my sister holding a cigar, and we're going to put it here in the cigar lounge. It's going to be great. Sick.
Honestly, that'd be so cute.
That's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Did you do anything, guys, for Easter? You did something for Easter. That's very important.
Did I do something for Easter? I don't know. Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, what did I do?
Well, you spent. Oh. Oops. I was told not to do that. Hold on. I got to do this cool. Tapping. Look how nice this is.
We have no idea what we're doing.
No idea, bro.
Idea
I think this is the second cigar I've ever smoked in my life. Bro. The other one was.
This is the second one behind Tristan Tate.
Right.
Smoke a cigar.
Tell them when the other one was. When the other cigar was that you had.
I don't remember it. Wait, hold on. Was this something that's gonna get me in trouble?
Damn.
No. Oh wait, hold on. I'm so stupid.
And Jessica knows.
That wasn't the first time I smoked weed. I mean, smoked. Oh my god, this is just getting. This is getting so much worse.
I just made him
worse.
Really nervous, and he's.
No, I smoked a cigar after I took her from her father. I said, "Give me your daughter." He said, "Let's go have cigars," and then
we had
cigars.
That's how that goes.
Okay, I give you two goats for your one daughter. Three goats.
There we go.
No, we had, and that's when I learned you could mix the tasting of it. I do remember that. Mm-hmm. I was more focused on Easter, and that this was our first Easter together.
Yeah, this was our first Easter together.
This was your first Easter together?
Yep.
Yeah, because holidays.
We're not married, and a lot of people are upset with us for the last conversation we had, but they have absolutely no idea that my mother's been on our case for a very long time. I am 31 years old. You want to know why I have another residency in Arizona? Is because I'm not allowed to be in the same bedroom with my fiance until we're married. This is a true thing, bro.
Yeah.
Anytime we spend the night to have little sleepovers with my mom to watch cartoons, like Avatar The Last Airbender, we'll circle back to that, we are not allowed to sleep in the same facility.
Really?
Yeah. Nope. We're in different bedrooms.
But now
No spooning while Caroline's.
But now she's my fiance.
Mm-hmm.
So like in our culture, it's like
I'm. Can you spoon now?
I brought her to my church.
Yeah.
for the first time ever.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I went with your whole family, and that was so special. And what's even more special about it is that, you know, I got to spend, obviously, Easter with his family, but then my mom came too. And so my mom got to spend Easter with George's family, and that was just really, really special.
She fit in like a glove, bro.
Really?
Like a glove, bro. They took like
thank God.
Pictures together of winning tournaments that they were playing together.
Bro,
like,
so funny.
It was your mother is
she had the best time ever.
She really
had the
did.
Best time ever. Oh my gosh, she had so much fun.
We took her to a breakfast spot, and right next
Butters?
Door to the breakfast, yeah, Butters, too. And right next door there's a gun range. So we had breakfast and went shooting right away. And she's like, I could get used to this.
Yeah, she's like, this is the perfect day ever. Oh yeah, she was obsessed with your mom's salmon. The food she cooked was amazing. Wow, it was just such a blast, and it was just so special. I can't believe it's our first one.
You know what? Why it's even more special to me than it might even be for you? When you were younger, and you ever had like a loved one, like a boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
like you had you have an ex-boyfriend.
Yep.
He's met your family.
Yeah.
You knew about that?
I don't like to talk about it.
Anyways.
Nice, right on cue. Yeah, there we go.
Deal with my nose.
Call him up.
It burned my nose.
That ex-boyfriend.
Well, her family got to meet her best boyfriend. Oh my God! Just imagine. They got to meet her best boyfriend,
but not best fiance.
Yeah. Hey. They got to meet him, and in my family, not one girl I've ever seen, talked to, looked at, kissed, anything, has ever met any of my family members.
Was that just because none of them are serious enough?
No, my mom would never let it, bro. I was dating this girl, not to disrespect this woman. but
here we go.
She wasn't at the highest class. And I was in my, like, you know, like, whatever, dude, she's hot phase. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we could look past that really bad side of the part of her life, you know what I mean? And my mom, one time I went up to her, and I was young, I was very young, I was like in high school, and I was like, Mom, like, you don't understand, I love her, Mom. You don't even get it, you don't even want to meet her, but you don't even know, I love her. I love her so much, and I'm gonna.
How old are you?
I'm at the age where when you're mad, you hold your breath type of age.
You don't even know.
That's how I feel.
That's how you threaten her?
And my mom leaned in. And she goes, can I ask you a question? And I go, yeah. She goes, do you ever see me go outside and bring like garbage and bring it back into my house? And I go, no, never. She goes, no, why would I let you do that? And I was like, She goes, not now, not ever.
Which is crazy because your mom is the nicest woman in
the
world.
Not when you're dating her son.
But she is straight to the point. That's what I love about it. Listen, I can't comment much on this. I know this story. I know what she said. I can't say much. What am I going to say? But I'm honored and proud to be the first. I don't know what to tell you.
You made it.
My mother called me. She goes, I want to meet this one. And I was like, are you serious? And then the night of our engagement, I took him to the same restaurant that I introduced her to my mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was we went to the same restaurant where we had our first date and where him and his mom and I sat down for the first time.
Wow.
So that was so special.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was a cool moment. That was really a cool moment. I loved how this podcast went so far. I feel like I have my notes right here, but I never even opened
so
them
natural.
Up. Yeah, because I just have like, it just feels good. It feels good to be here. We have a lot of cool things coming like soon that we're working on. We're going live. We're going to be doing a tour. I have some projects going to be releasing maybe the end of this year, maybe the beginning of next. I have some collaboration projects you guys just got notified by. And
things feel right.
It is. It is. It feels great. I just got to say this one thing, though. When I was going through my downs, right? Because every human being goes like this, right? And I want to make sure this is like, I already know that life is right here right now, but life goes like this and it goes back up and it goes down and it goes back up. And if anybody right now is at an up or at a down in their life, focus on Christ, and I know I might be babbling a little bit here, but I just want to get this off my chest because it means the world to me. When I was on a really big podcast and I was doing really cool guests and I was traveling the world and I was getting paid, I was very depressed. And it was because I took my eyes off of God, because I feared that I was going to lose everything that He gave me, the opportunity, the relationships, the position. And so I was so caught up in being and scared of losing what I have that He gave to me the devil made me, he removed the joy away from me. So when I was at my high without focusing on God, my joy and my peace left me. Mm-hmm. But I think that was the best thing that God ever did to me. Because when I went all the way to the top and I was depressed, I looked back down where I was like working a 9 to 5, getting paid $6 an hour. And that guy was the happiest version of me, is because that man, when he went home, he had time to spend with God. And sometimes when you get so successful and so on the path of what you think you should be doing, it's so easy to stop focusing on the deity that gave you the ability to be here. And so I'm telling you to focus on Christ, not because you need more and not because you're grateful, but because joy and peace rely on him. That's it. You will never find joy and peace at the level that I have it at without focusing it 100% on Jesus Christ. And the reason I wanted to bring that up is because the devil tried to use this trick again on me recently. This past week, and I mentioned it on the last podcast, I said, the devil's been coming after me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went through my notes, bro, and I'm like, okay, what? This is an attack. No, it's not coming from anywhere. My position is good. My wallet is good. My foundation is good. My relationships are good. My loved ones are good. Okay, what the hell did I have to be upset about? And that's what made me mad, is if I looked at a son that had all of this stuff and was still sad, I wouldn't want to even talk to this human being. Because I'm like, what kind of ungrateful human being are you? You're sitting here complaining about this, this, and that, where 20 years ago you would have been crying to have these problems. Are you ready for this? I went to a different level, which means that there's a different devil. So now I got to welcome my God in more. If once a day Bible study is not doing it, make it two. Just like if you're going to the gym and the once a day is not keeping up with your diet, your foundation, your surroundings, maybe you're eating too much. Now you have to go to the gym twice. You got to burn it off. So what I'm saying is, just because you're in an amazing spot that you saw here, do not be quick to think that that comes with peace and joy. That doesn't. That comes with a lot more problems, because now you have it, you've tasted it, and now you don't want it to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're scared of it leaving, and now the fear is no longer, I fear God. It is, I fear I'm going to lose this money. I fear I'm going to lose this position. I'm fearing that I'm going to lose my fiance. If you focus your fear on Christ, I am scared of disappointing you. I am scared that the day will come when I meet you and you say, be away from me, I never knew you. I am scared that when I am with you, I will remember all the things that I put behind me. And that was you. And that will scare me. Now, two young ladies came to our podcast, and they were named The Girls Gone Bible. We just did an episode with them. And they had a beautiful moment to correct me on my mouth. And man, it did it unfold more beautiful than other people could even imagine. One, I'm working on my tongue. I'm being diligent with swearing. This has opened up the doors for other people to work on it. People come up to me like, hey, bro, I'm quitting with you. I'm doing this. So that not only did she correct me, but she corrected so many more tongues. But when I'm sitting there and I started praying for forgiveness, for like even speaking the way I was speaking and not even finding any problem with it, I started realizing that I might not be grateful for all the things that I should be grateful for. So I changed my prayers to like, thank you for the things that I don't know that I should be thanking you for.
Which are the biggest things?
Probably the biggest things.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is, forgive me for the things that I'm doing now that disappoint you that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Either I do know and I'm running away from it, or I don't really know. But each is pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
So once I sat there and I meditated and I said, all right, God, like, what is it that you want me to work on? And for a week it took me, and this is, by the way, ironically, is when I'm being under attack, right? And I just want to highlight, and this is just for me, but I want to see if it resonates with a lot of people. Anytime I'm in a really good place is where the devil starts coming after me. When I'm in a really good place, that's when my mind starts beating itself up. And so I ask God, I go, God, what do you want me to work on? And I've been reading the Bible and I've been taking notes. And the one thing that I want to share, and I pray that this is what he wants me to share with you guys. My mouth was one trait that took me back so many pages. But then God said, what are you doing with your eyes? What are you doing with your ears? What are you doing with your hands? So I asked my God to open up my eyes, and I started seeing a lot more problems. a lot of things I need to fix. And now I started to getting overwhelmed. I'm like, oh my God, like I already have all these problems. I'm already working on my mouth. Now I have to deal with these. I never even noticed these before. And it immediately made me want to go like, I wish I never prayed for that. Because that is so hard to swallow right now. But then I started riding the waves started going crazy. And God goes, well, if I gave you the ability to see it, don't you think I could give you the ability to see it and stand in confidence? So the whole time I'm saying, where does my confidence come from? Well, I got to do this. I got to be like that. I got to blah, blah, blah. And I went there, and one time I broke down in front of my mom and I started crying. I go, I'm not enough. I can't do this. I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm this or that. And my mom goes, that's a lot of I. Were you going to bring up your Lord at any point? And I was like, huh. The times that I'm lost and I'm confused, I'm not focusing on him. I'm focusing on the problem. I'm so tunnel vision with my problem and I need the solution, but the solution is literally the living word. And I could just turn my eyes, focusing on him, and I not only get the medicine, but I get the peace. I get the joy. And then I look back at the problem, and now I could overcome you because I'm not coming after you first. I sent my God before me. So now I'm like the little kid behind God. Be like, what are you going to do now, bro?
Say something now.
And that's when I wrote the line, don't tell God how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big your God is. I feel like I'm just sitting here doing like a TED Talk. Am I going way too hard?
No,
it was good. Am I going way too hard? I didn't want to interrupt your train of thought.
I didn't even open up my book right now. I'm just rapid fire.
You're on stage, bro.
I'm so sorry. I feel like I just went straight babbling for a bit.
No, I think that was...
Yeah, I love it. It's so funny when you like snap out of it, but like everything you're saying is fire.
People are like, this guy's a lunatic.
You guys.
We're like 60 episodes deep. If they're surprised at this point.
What are you laughing at?
No, I wanted to say, everything you're saying, you're not babbling at all. There's so much wisdom in that and so much to take away from that. And something I wanted to go back to that you brought up briefly of like when you were going through that warfare that weekend, something that you said that I thought was really interesting and that would be really good to watch out for a lot of people is you were like, I feel like, you know, I had this really good idea and I feel like my purpose with God is really big and I'm in a direction that's really important for God. And I feel like the devil is trying to distract me from that. And he's getting in my head and he's making things difficult for me. And he's trying to like pull you away from your purpose.
Yeah.
And that was something that you were going through. And then randomly enough, I actually saw a sermon that Stephen Furtick had done. He was speaking on that same kind of thing. And that is such a good thing to remember because sometimes you're going in such a beautiful direction and you're leading your purpose, but then the devil, obviously, he doesn't want you to fulfill your purpose. He doesn't want you to do what's right for God. So he's going to try and confuse you and distract you. And then in that time, you're like, well, wait, am I even all the things that you said? Am I doing enough? Am I on the right path? Maybe I shouldn't be here. And then he's slowly pulling you away. And so I think that's something good to like have on your forefront sometimes when you feel like all of a sudden you're being negative, you're in these moods, you're short-tempered, you're whatever it might be. Maybe you need to like pause and realize that, oh, wait, maybe you're onto gold and maybe you're onto something really good and you're just trying to be distracted.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I learned that when my dad bought me speakers once when I was a little boy and the day was so excited and the devil got in the way of it and it ruined a really cool day for me. And it was my fault. And so I learned that day, I go, just as excited God is to celebrate with you is just as excited the devil is to ruin it.
Mm.
And you have the ability to do that. The project she's talking about, it's not ready for announcements, but it was the first project where I was like, ah, I get it. Now I understand what God wanted me to do with this. And as soon as I got it, oh man, bring in the people with problems, like the trumpets, bring in them all in. They're just coming in by the buttloads. And I'm just like, wow, okay. And I started laughing and smiling. I go, you silly little devil. I go, you messed up. You came at me too hard. You came at me too hard. You made me realize how important this is to you. So purposefully, I dropped three other projects. I go, I'm gonna put in the time that I was gonna do these three other projects into this one. So now, I will say this over and over again. If the devil comes after me personally, I will praise my God publicly. You're not going to try to catch me by myself so I could get into my head. I'd rather just say it out loud and then have somebody in comments be like, actually, no, God in the Bible said this is that. And then I could correct myself here. But I'm not going to sit here by myself beating myself up and being paralyzed. Because, guys, fear could paralyze a human being, bro. It could really paralyze. I've been in moments where I was so scared I couldn't even speak. Because I'm just like, I don't know what. It's crippling. It's like a crippling, like, feeling to have.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to have that, man. Cast your anxieties onto the Lord, for he cares for you. Mm-hmm. And I tell people all the time, like, especially Christians, you know, you compliment them. I love Christians that are, like, always praising God, but they're always stressed. I don't get that. I always tell people, I'm like, yeah, how you doing? Oh, yeah, good, praise God, but you know. And then they're just like, just dark. And I go, hey, can I ask you something? And they go, yeah. I go, if you're always ready to give the glory to God, why not give your fear and anxiety to him as well? Why do you keep that? Why are you so ready to preach it all the time? It's so funny. People always say you're a preacher, and I got annoyed at that because I felt like there was a lot of responsibility with that. But we all preach. We all preach what we have in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We all are wanting to either symbolize through words or actions what we believe is right.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted us to spread his message, right, and his good news.
Yeah. Let's move on from that. I feel like we've been sitting with the devil for a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, the devil could be a problem, but you know who else could be a problem?
We got tools now, though.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know who else could be a problem?
Who?
Bell and me. We're in an apartment.
I thought you were going to say Jake Paul because he's a problem child. No, I thought we were going to transition that way. Sorry.
Bell and I, we're in an apartment. And actually, hold on. Before I get into that, let me see if there's anything. Let me open up my little...
You got a book, bro.
Oh,
you're just first page, huh? You open up that?
Yeah, it's a brand new one. I got it. Guys.
You're not going to say what you were about to say?
Well, I want to go through this real quick because I don't want to forget. First of all, I wrote down here, Easter is about Jesus Christ. A lot of bunnies and monies, and it's about Jesus Christ and him forgiving your sins. So let's not forget about that. There's always something to... Before, when I was growing up, it's a pagan holiday. Now it's this. You know what I've learned? That the devil's always trying to distract the day that you have forgot. My mom, one time, I'll never forget this, because I came to my mom. I was like, we're not celebrating Easter and Christmas and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da because the devil, you decorated, it's a pagan holiday. And my mom starts laughing. She goes, hey, man. She goes, when you wake up for Christmas, do you think about the devil? And I go, no, I think about Jesus. She goes, and stop trying to take the only day that you dedicate to Jesus Christ and make it about the devil. And I was like, fair enough. Okay. Okay. You're
Mama
right.
Jenko.
You're right. I mean, maybe they did use this as a pagan holiday back in the day, but we don't do it now. It's not like we're sitting around decorating the tree for some other God. We're doing it for Christ. And I thought about that and I was like, man, we really do want to divide our own people. Like, I'm now going to my mom and be like, we're not celebrating Christmas. And I was like, you just don't want to celebrate the birth of your Christ? And I was like, that sounds pretty evil. So like, you don't even know, dude. You're a pagan.
Like that. Well, it's so hard to know what's right, right? You learn information and you're like, oh, wait, what we've been doing is wrong. And then you're like, but no, this actually, it's so hard to always know. You know what I mean? You have to fail to learn what's the right thing to do.
Comment down below if you celebrate Easter or Christmas or anything. I just feel like everything is about intent.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to situations like this, especially like worship, if I decorate a tree and I praise a different God, I think that could be a sin. But if I decorate a tree with my mom and the whole time we're talking about Bible verses and our God, I highly doubt my God's in heaven be like, you pagans, decorating the tree like you did with that other God. Like, I don't know. But I could be completely wrong. I'd love to discuss that with people. Leo. Caused Leonardo DiCaprio is my cat. Tommy's right over here, and it looks like he's having a good time. We drive here to LA with the whole family, and I had to pull over because Leo threw up everywhere in the front seat.
Mm.
So I cleaned that up.
What did he eat?
It looked like everything.
Got it.
Okay. It was all over the place. And I pull over, and I'm trying to be, a good cat owner, and I'm just petting him, and I'm like, don't worry, man. It happens.
I had just gotten out of the car, thank God, because we were driving with my mom, so, like, I got out of the front seat, and I got in the car with my mom. He peels away for 2 seconds, calls, Leo threw up everywhere. All right, let's pull over.
I get in the car, and I pet him, and I go, don't worry, buddy. He gets up in front again, and I'm like, oh, he's coming back to thank me now. So I'm driving, and all of a sudden, I'm like, it smells like shit in here. And I turn over there, and he not only shit, the wettest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Tall Georgie.
But he's patting it because he's trying to bury it on a leather
cats
seat.
Cats are wild, bro.
And then I go, hey! And then he gets scared, and the padding that he was, he jumps around.
Yeah, he runs around the whole car.
When I mean, I had to pull over again. I almost thought I had to load up the car without him. I thought it was
you
the day
just
that
leave
I
leave him in the desert?
I leave him out there.
This is 5 minutes after we just left him from the throw-up incident and get another phone call. Leo pooped in the front seat.
Oh, my God, so much.
Like, there's no way.
Dad, can I get a lighter for my cigar? It went out. The Zaya cigar.
But also, Zaya, you know what's funny? Zaya. You know what's funny that you brought up Leo? Because I was literally going to say, I was like, it was part of the weekend that Georgie was going through his little mental warfare. That weekend, we come home.
You just see me screaming and running around.
You know what I mean?
Just in your boxers.
You know what I mean? But we come home like really late at night from, we just got back from New York for an episode with,
John Bellion.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know if we had said it or not, but we just got home and it's like 12:30 at night. We walk in the house and we're like, and it just, you could just smell that there's some cat pee somewhere in the house. Somewhere. And we have these two really big bean bags by the kitchen and they've been, you know, they've been the victim of it. And Georgie had enough at 12:39. He took the huge beanbag. He dragged it on the balcony and chucked it over the balcony.
When George is done, he's done.
Yeah, speaking of done, Jessica set up a whole air hockey. You remember this? Were you here for this? You were here for this.
I think so.
Yeah. We went on a trip and Jessica had to hire like 3 men to come and like build this air hockey thing that I ordered. And I was so excited for it. I hit one thing and the puck delayed and it wasn't like the Dave and Buster's one. And I go, I'm done with it. I don't want this. And she just looked at me. She goes, are you joking? And I was like, yeah, I don't want it. I just, bro, if I can't fake something. Like, if I don't like it, I don't like it. If I do love it, then I'll tell you all day.
But when you love something, boy, do you love it.
Mm-hmm. I'm all in, dude.
Yeah.
I might need to see somebody about that. But like, I'm either all in or I'm all out. I'm just like, there's no in the middle of it.
Nope, there is not. And that beanbag is still in our front yard. And there was a storm in California that just happened. And that beanbag has to weigh 3,000 pounds now. I don't know how we're going to get rid of it.
Seems like a problem for future George.
Yeah, you and Joe need to take care of it.
Speaking of... well, actually, we weren't speaking about this at all. But so, speaking of...
No, come on. Now, at this point, get it out.
We were at the apartment in Arizona. And me and Belle's lifestyle is, well, all our lifestyle is very much different than people that work 9-to-5s. And in Arizona, a lot of people more work than 9-to-5s. Sorry, I didn't mean to put this on.
No,
sorry. So people go to bed pretty early. This is how our routine happens. We usually go around spending time with our friends and family. We go, you know, we do our thing. And then we go back to my mom and dad's house. And we have dinner with them around like 10 o'clock at night.
It's a late dinner.
A very late dinner. We hang out with them. They go to bed around 1. Now me and Belle are hungry again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Second dinner.
Yep. Second dinner.
By 2 or 3, I'm like, let's go.
Bro.
There's not a whole lot of options around that time, too. Do you like cook? Do you cook the second dinner, or do you pick it up somewhere?
She's cooking a steak. So you know how my door slides all the way open?
Yeah.
So we had the door all the way slid open. 3 o'clock in the morning, she's just cooking. I'm sitting there playing Fortnite, screaming at Justin. I'm like, oh, mother.
I'm making a filet mignon and like a salmon for myself.
Then we go outside and... we're just sitting there. She's like, dude, you have such a loud snap. We're talking about my snap randomly.
Bro, but hold on. His snap is literally picture two little hands, just two little hands coming together and clapping really loud. That's his two fingers snapping. That's how loud it is. Are you okay? Did you inhale?
You're looking like
that.
Leo over there, bro.
Oh, God, that fucked me up. Freaked me up. Sorry. Freaked me up.
Did you inhale it?
I did inhale it. That one. Zaya. Anyway, so. One second. So we're outside, and she goes, go ahead, do it, do it. Snap. And I was like, okay. And I'm going to give you guys a demonstration of my snap real quick.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Strong.
Yeah, no, it's just like,
okay, we get it.
We're in a really big open space. I don't think you can really understand like the rider, strength dude. Of his
She's my
snap.
Rider,
okay.
And so listen. So my snap, I snap outside when we're outside and we're smoking.
Crazy. This is so high right now.
The TV is off. The grill is off.
You're gonna wake everybody up,
bro. Let's snap. Or just a snap, and I just hear echoing. And I go,
No.
You're not just...
No.
I go.
After the first... No. We snapped once, and we heard the echo, and we went, wow, yeah. I was like, dude, it's just such a loud
snap. Do that 10 more times. Yeah.
Super loud. Just super loud. Oh, Dad, thank you so much. Wow.
Wow, the service here is incredible.
Wow. This is...
Enjoy. 24th Street?
24th Street Cigar Lounge. Oh. It's on 24th Street in Osborne. Come by. wait, what was I saying?
The snap. So we did one snap and it echoed. And we're
now I understand why we get so many noise complaints. And by the way, I have the audacity. I complain of people all the time.
Like there's this one person above us that like at 5 o'clock in the morning, I don't know what this person does, like runs on the treadmill.
No, I found out what it was. She has like a 400-pound dog. It's like one of
400-pound dog?
It looks like a
Is that a fucking bear, it bro? Looks like,
It looks like a woolly mammoth, bro. This thing, but it's we thought it was her running on the treadmill. It's her playing with her dog in the morning. But it's like,
and her morning is your guys' night, right?
No. Her morning is like 12 o'clock in the afternoon. But you know what? I will not have it. Okay, there's people that are trying to sleep.
It's noon, bro.
So I'm in noise complaint. And all the people in the office are like, "Was it really that bad?" I go, "It kept me up." They never asked me what time, though. I go, it kept me up. I couldn't even believe it.
No. It's been times. It's been really, really. But yeah, we should never have the audacity to say anything because.
So was that snapping thing?
You don't understand. I almost threw up
no,
twice.
No. You coughed into the mic.
Yo. I can't even say.
You okay?
Oh.
Don't hit
so
it.
So cigar, cigar lounge, huh?
I'm sweating, bro. Oh, check out the merch.
Oh yeah, we haven't gone to that yet.
Mm-hmm. It looks so cute. Show the back. Turn around.
The back's important.
Yeah. The back is the vibe. Oh, maybe not.
Hold on.
If you're gonna show it. Show it. Yeah, nice. Yeah, that's.
Hope you enjoyed that angle.
Well, anyways, it was a pleasure to sit here with you guys.
Dude.
And just as little Georgie was in that freezer, which ironically, Dad, tell me I'm wrong. What is it right where he's sitting where the cooler was or no?
Yes. Exactly.
Right here?
This was the way to the cooler?
This is where the cooler was, right?
Mm.
All the way here.
So we're right technically where we're right where we're at. Yeah. So I pray and I dream that in another 15 years, we could sit here and we could talk about all the things we accomplished and to many more. I love you guys so much.
Cheers.
Yeah, I love you.
Thank you for being here on the George Janko Show.
Oh, it's such a pleasure.
Such a pleasure.
Well, me first.
Do you need the last shake?
Do you guys have your cigars?
Yeah, I need to light it though.
Let's cheers. Oh, you guys need to light it?
Yeah.
Here's the lighter. Thank you guys for, spending your time with us.
Wait, hold on.
We really do appreciate it. We've been bouncing around the charts. We were anywhere from number 20 to 30 on the podcast charts, and that wouldn't happen if it wasn't for you guys.
We had no idea that was going to happen.
Bro, when we started this podcast, I purposely said no guests, not because I was like, I don't want guests, because I truly didn't think anybody would want to come on and talk to me.
No, he really said, he was like, guys, who's going to come on? Like, what guests am I going to get? Like, who's going to want to... Isn't that crazy? That's such a crazy thing to think about.
I also want to take a moment to say thank you to Celsius. When I first started my podcast, a man named Andrew from Celsius came and he told me that he believed in this project and he believed in me. And I told him that I would never forget it. And you guys not only helped me give the foundation of what I got going on right now, but I truly don't think it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for you guys blessing me with that first contract and opening so many doors
up. The day that you locked that contract in, I've never seen you cry so much.
Yeah, I cried a lot.
That was...
Yeah, I cried like my whole eyes out.
That was a big moment.
It meant a lot to me. And, you know, there's a lot of brands that come in and out, you know? And for those of you guys that don't know, I reject 90% of brands that are given to me just because I will not promote anything that will break a home. Mm-hmm. And I was stuck in a really tight financial spot because at the time that I was leaving, I was exiting, I invested and I thought I was going to be in the location that I was for a long time. And when I was leaving, I was very scared. But I was confident in the Lord. The day that I told my mom told me the day that I got the contract, she didn't tell me until she wanted to make sure everything was finished. But she was crying in her dream to God, and she said she was scared of my future. And God told her, and by the way, he wasn't a figure. It wasn't like she was sitting there talking to like a human. It was a light. And he told my mom, tell your son, go this way. But where he pointed, there was nothing there. And confidently in the dream, my mom turns to me and she says, go. And I guess when I stepped forward into nothing, the foundation at my feet was formed. And my mom woke up, and when I told her that dream, I'm not the dream, I told her about the contract. It was signed and it was finished. And I was crying on the phone. My mom said that dream was to remind us, regardless of which direction you go, and it might look like it's nothing or nowhere, if you put God at the captain of the ship, it will end up to be a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful trip. Mm. So if you're lost or if you're at the top and you're confused, fix your focus on Christ, and you wouldn't believe what he could bring to life. He didn't just bring people to life. He brought opportunity to life. He brought dreams to life. He did not come to save people. He came to make people alive because they were already dead. So I love you guys so much. Happy Easter. I pray that your families are very, very safe, healthy, and happy. And I will see you guys next week for John Bellion, one of the greatest songwriters of our generation. He wrote songs like Holy with Justin Bieber and Monster by Rihanna and just hit after hit after hit.
And such an interesting person.
Interesting person.
Even beyond his talent.
A God-fearing man. Mm-hmm. And we talk a lot about the industry, and we get into politics, and we get into the gospel. And I'm just super grateful to be here right now doing this podcast with you guys. So if you guys are on your way to work listening, or you're just tuning in every 5 minutes at a time, or honestly, if you're just watching clips, I love you guys with all my heart, and I will see you guys next time.
Let's go.